Morning. This morning, I want to talk about some things that have hit home for us lately. For all of us, in fact. It's something to the effect of grief, loss, success, and giving the glory to God. It's a pretty broad spectrum. I think a lot of people can relate. And I think that what's common in our society today is that we look at the grieving process possibly even a little more differently than people have in the past. And in this case, I'm referring to the loss of life, so grieving the loss of life. I believe that currently in our society, egocentrism or self-centeredness has so long given us this false sense of this grieving to be an intrinsic process, that it's all about us and what we have lost, as opposed to thankfulness for time spent or gratitude that the person who is gone is no longer in pain. This is especially true of people who have no belief in life after earth. I feel that as Christians, we do a good job of keeping these things in mind, but it is still hard that we take this loss, and we take it with difficulty. And if we really think about it, a lot of this grief is unavoidable. It is reserved for those who are left, and it is very real, and it's a rational feeling. We love these people so much, and that when they are gone, it is impossible to not be moved. Even our Savior was moved to tears as he saw the pain of loss in those who he loved. So believe me, it is not my intent to cheapen the pain of loss, but rather to encourage us to be conscious of the way that we think and react to these situations. And also to encourage others and give them strength in their case of loss. How we handle this can say a lot about us, and it can say a lot about our faith. We can overcome grief by laying our sorrows at the feet of the Lord. We see this exemplified consistently throughout the Psalms. David will be in distress or grieving one thing or another, laid at the feet of the Lord, speak of how he diligently follows God, and then praises him. I have a couple examples. I'm going to read Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And also in Psalm 56, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long. For many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts against me are for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath cast these people down, O God. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, in the word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. These Psalms seem maybe a bit long-winded for me to quote here, but I feel it's very important to encompass the entire thought process, because though David is not speaking of loss of life, he is bringing his sorrows and his grief to the Lord. And as David often did, he boldly asks things of God, knowing that he is a diligent servant and that God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. One of the main things that I want to focus in these Psalms, which is the same of so many other examples that we see in the Scripture, the template is made, ending requests made to God with praise. David does not allow his grief and pain to completely overcome and cast a shadow over his praise to the Lord. That's the point I would like to impose on myself and you this morning, that when we grieve, we don't allow the pain to take up so much room in our hearts that we have no room for praise. I can speak from my personal experience that this congregation does a very good job of, without even asking for it, receiving support. We read in Galatians 6:2, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We are not only instructed or encouraged to be empathetic, but we see here that in doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. To lean on God is where we find peace. To lean on each other is where we can find support. And with both of these, we'll be able to overcome much of the sorrow and loss. I believe that we are generally aware that it can be much easier to call upon the Lord when we are in strife, when we need something from Him. As we all know, it is also important to be vigilant in continuing to fuel our prayer life and cultivate our relationship with the Lord when we are met with success in life. We are actually told that if we maintain that relationship and keep centered on serving Him, that we will be met with success. Proverbs 16:1-3 says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. We see people who are successful in biblical ways. As long as they serve the Lord, they are successful because of what they place an importance on. Because true success in life comes from faithfully serving God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Let us also not forget that the things we have prayed for and received. These are successes that can easily be offered up to God as praise and thanks to the Lord. So in this manner, we can actually offer up success, whether small or great. Both in time of loss or success, we can offer praise. So what are some ways that we can effectively accomplish this? What is implied in offering acceptable praise to God? Of course, when we offer praise to God, it implies that we have confidence in God. We cannot honestly praise Him unless we have confidence. This implies not merely a conviction that He is good, but also a state of harmony with this conviction. Satan knows that God is good. He says this in multiple places. He is not praising God because his heart does not correspond with his words. Because no doubt Satan knows that God is good and even confesses it with his lips, but this is not praise. Praise, therefore, implies confidence of the heart, and acceptable praise implies spirit of worship and adoration. This involves an appreciation of His goodness and His merits. By this, I don't mean that we can appreciate Him perfectly, because an appreciation equal to His worth would be infinite. And of course, that is beyond our capacity. But I do mean that we should appreciate Him according to the means of our knowledge and our capacity. And with such appreciation, we should feel deeply and will honestly mean what we say. It is of no use to tell God that we love and appreciate Him if we don't live like we love and appreciate Him. It does no good to talk over His attributes in wordy ways with no heart in what we say. In acceptable praise, the mind must be earnest. It implies also supreme affection for God. Suppose a man hated God and yet would acknowledge His goodness. Would this be an offering of praise? Of course not. There is no amount of simply saying that God is good that can be praise, because it does not also breathe sincere regard and affection. Praise also implies a sense of dependence on God as a benefactor in our lives, both to ourselves and to the world around us. For if we have no sense of our dependence on God, our hearts will not burst forth with sincere commendation and praise. It implies a sense or degree of intellect coupled with that love. We must know and love to appreciate and praise. Praise without love for God is a sarcastic offense, because it is empty and full of lies and most likely will not occur. Because if it is apparent to a person that the Lord requires praise, then they know enough that all good things come from God, and to withhold their love and appreciation withholds true praise. Praise also implies a union of our will with God's. We must approve of the ways of His providence and plan of the gospel, which sounds easy, but sometimes things don't really go the way that we plan, or even that we pray that they do. But with a prayer and praise, we can come to the understanding that things can happen against our will that are with God's, and that we pray that our will is aligned with His, not that His will is aligned with ours. I don't believe that every minute occurrence is specifically caused by God's willful imposition in our lives. But we do know that all good things come from God. And with this, we can learn appreciation and endurance through hard times. Offering praise implies an abundance of gratitude and willful service to the Lord. It must fill the heart, then out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth will speak with utterances of real praise. Lastly, one exceedingly important example to offer up praise for our pain, loss, or success is because we are Christians, and as Christians we are called out to be Christ-like. And Christ praised God. We read in Luke 22:39-46, "And He came out and went, as was His custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed Him, and when He came to the place, He said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And then He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to Him an angel from heaven, strengthening Him, and being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when He rose from prayer, He came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow, and said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" So in our efforts to be as Christ-like as we can, it is imperative that we lean upon the Lord and upon one another, offering up our grief, success, and everything in between to the Lord with praise and admonition. Praise is the common denominator. So for whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, there can be praise. This doesn't always come easily because we are molded by the society that is self-centered. We know this. We know that we have all faced loss and it cuts deeply. But if we begin, if there is any way to begin to lessen the pain, it is praise and focus on God rather than ourselves. If there is anything that we can do for anyone here, please let it be known as we stand and sing.